كانوا يوعدون. صدق الله العظيم. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Quran by the Kaaba, and sometime when he would be talking to his companions in public, the Kuffar of Quraysh, they used to run to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they would surround him with the intention of making mockery of him, making fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as he would recite ayahs about Jannah and Jahannam, about Akhirah, they would make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and instead coming up with objections like, when are we going to be coming out of the graves? There are people who have been buried for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, for millions of years. Our forefathers were told the same thing by other prophets, that a day of judgment is coming soon, but they did not come out of their graves yet. And with these type of objections, they used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and surround Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then bombard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these objections. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, فَمَالِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قِبَلَكَ مُهْطَعِينَ. What is the matter with the disbelievers that they hasten towards you and they rush towards you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ عِزِينَ, in groups from right and left. So they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from right and left, and they would come in groups. In other words, they had made their plans earlier that whenever any of us would see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about Islam, reciting Quran, we should let each other know, and then we all together will just go to him, and then as he is reciting or as he is talking, we will make fun of him, walayazu billah. And of course, when a person makes fun of others, that simply means he considers himself in a better situation than others. This is a very important point that we learn from the ayah, and we have to keep it always in mind that we all have a habit sometime making fun of some people. Sometimes we laugh at people. When we sit together, we say, you know, those people. And as soon as we start pointing fingers to people, whether we are sitting with friends or we are sitting with family members, and we talk about some other groups, we talk about some families, we talk about some individuals, whenever, this is the rule, whenever a person talks about someone or talks against someone, he always has a feeling in his mind that I am better than that person. Otherwise, he would never make fun of that person. Otherwise, this person would never talk against that person. Sometime, to hide that feeling, to cover up that mistake of ours, because in our subconsciousness, we know that this is what it means when we make fun of others. So after talking against others, we try to say that I don't mean that I'm better than him. Whether we mean it or not, this is what we are trying to say. And then at the end, saying that I don't mean to say this, it doesn't help really. It's just like hitting someone and then telling the person that I don't mean to hurt you. I mean, you already did it. And now, whether you meant it or you did not mean it, but at least this is what you did. This is exactly what we do, that when we talk about people, that simply means that we consider ourselves in a better situation than those people. And therefore, we should always remind ourselves when sometime we sit together, we start talking about people, as soon as anyone talks about any person, we should remind the person that this talk simply means that you are trying to say that you are better than that person in this situation, at least, if not in general. So do you really think that? If you think, then it's too bad, really. And if you don't think so, then you better stop talking about the person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَطْمَعُ كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ Since when they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that simply means they consider themselves better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ayazu billah. And in other words, they consider themselves more guided than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And simply that means that they feel that if anyone is to go to Jannah, that would be us, not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَطْمَعُ كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُدْخَلَ جَنَّةَ نَعِيمٍ Does each and every person of them hopes to enter the gardens of bliss? That simply means, do they feel that they are the ones who are going to Jannah, not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? With this we need to remind ourselves, how many times we start doing things, and we do things, and at the end we say, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, he would have done it this way. Who are we to decide for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he would have done? We have no right to make those decisions. All we can do and say is that we do something that we feel Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something similar to this, and we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something similar to this, so therefore we don't think that this thing is forbidden. That's different. But saying that if he was here and he was alive at this time, he would have done this, we cannot decide that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we cannot label Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with doing something that he had never done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the same question, أَيَطْمَعُ كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ Does every person, each and every one of them, hope to enter the Jannah, and they feel that they are the ones who would go into Jannah, not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا This would never happen. This would never happen because إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ مِمَّا يَعْلَمُونَ We created them of things that they themselves are very well aware of it. They know very well what we created them out of. And of course that is, either we call it dust, or we may say a drop of semen. Whichever of these two we choose for ourselves, there is nothing better we can go to. These are the things that we are created with. If we look at original creation, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, it was from dust and clay. If we look at the means, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, that was that drop, the dirty drop. Whichever of these two we choose, none of these two will make us worthy of going to Jannah. So if our creation, by creation, there is nothing that will guarantee us a Jannah, no one would say, I'm created of such material that cannot go to hellfire, or it only deserves to go to Jannah. No one can say that. So then, what is it that will decide for us where we are supposed to go, and which direction are we supposed to, or we would be going to in the hereafter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that's only Iman and the good deeds. So if by creation no one deserves to go to Jannah, then he's asking the disbelievers, the kuffar of Quraysh, who used to make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how can you say that you people will go to Jannah? Do you have a better belief than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you have better deeds than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you have better way of life than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or do you have a better connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If none of these things are there, and you also know, telling the kuffar of Quraysh, that you also know that there is nothing like this, then how can you claim that you are better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how can you make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What a beautiful way of proving to these people, to those kuffar of Quraysh, who used to say, Allahumma in kana hada huwa al-haqqa bin indik, فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ O Allah, if this deen is a true deen, then shower the rocks and the stones on us from the heaven. Don't guide us. If this is the truth, then we don't want to follow it. Then destroy us by sending this type of punishment to us, and that is throwing the stones from the heaven, on showering the stones on us from the heaven. We can also learn, if a person is making fun of us, what type of attitude we should have toward those people. Instead of fighting, arguing, we need to sit with those people and just discuss it. That in which way you think that I'm wrong. Making fun of me simply means that you are doing something better than me. Can you explain it to me, please? And that simply means at the same time, not necessarily to prove the person wrong. It might also be, and it should be really, to understand the truth. Who knows who's misunderstanding the truth, and many times we might also be wrong without realizing and knowing that we are wrong. So we always should be looking for the truth. And if someone is saying something against us or about us, we should, with open heart, be willing to listen to that. And then, after listening to it, make your decision. If you think that you are convinced you are right, and then just keep on doing it. We don't have to do anything about those people. But if we feel that we were wrong, then we need to correct ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this beautiful lesson in these ayahs. كَلَّا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ مِمَّا يَعْلَمُونَ فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the Lord of the East and the West, إِنَّا لَقَادِرُونَ, we have the power over what? عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ, to replace them with others that will be better than them. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ, and we would never be defeated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, first thing, he took an oath. Let's understand this oath. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ, I swear by the Lord of the Mashriq and Maghrib, East and West. But he did not use the singular form, he used the plural form, which is Mashariq and Maghrib, all the East and all the West. The reason for choosing Al-Mashariq and Al-Maghrib, all East and all the West, is because each day, as the sun rises, it does not rise from the very same place and point. Each day, the sun rises from a different place than the day before it. And therefore, when we read the story of the king of Saba, of the queen of Saba, Bilqis, the story of Sulaiman, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when the bird came and informed Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam that there is a queen that is being worshipped and she is ruling the whole kingdom. At that time, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam sent some of the jinns to go and bring his her castle. And we, in the tariq, in the history and in tafaseer, we find that her castle was huge, and they used to worship the sun. And because of that, she had 360 windows, 365 windows on each side of her castle, 365 windows toward the east and 365 windows toward the west. And that was because each day as the sun rises, it will be rising from in front of one of those windows, and it will be setting on the in the window opposite to that window. So each day the sun rises from little different point than the day before it, and then it will be setting on a different point than the day before it. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Mashariq, plural of Mashriq, all the east and all the west. And the reason he did that, so that we can understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, that no matter where we go, at what point of the world the people, the human beings will go, east and west, from any part of the world. And normally when we say east and west, that simply means anywhere in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wherever you might be in the world, we have the power over you. You can never run away from us, and we can never be defeated by you. Inna laqadirun, we have the power. And power over what? Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum, to replace them with people better than them. This is a call to all the human beings, that all human beings, if you don't want to help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I can bring better people better than you, and I don't need you. This reminds us of a hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in, قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم, O my servants, if the first and the last amongst you people, and the human beings and the jinns, all of you together, كانوا على قلب أتقى رجل منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا. If you become like the best person in the world, that will not benefit me and will not increase anything in my kingdom. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم, O my servants, if the first and the last amongst you people, and human beings and jinns, all of you together, كانوا على قلب أفجر رجل منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا, if all of you will become like the worst person in the world, that is not going to hurt my kingdom. So Allah does not benefit, He does not lose anything by us, the human beings, doing any service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or He does not lose anything by us disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, whatever you would do it for your own benefit, not for my benefit. And if you turn away even for my deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that this deen will remain in the world till the day of judgment. So if we the human beings will decide that we are not going to, wal-ayazu billah, we are not going to carry this message of Islam, and we are not willing to help the deen of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it does not matter, and I do not need you people, I can bring people other than you people, who will be better than you people. عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ, we have the power to bring people better than you. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ, and you can never defeat us. We can never, if all human beings decide that we want to hurt Allah, وَالْعَيَاسُ بِاللَّهِ, we can never hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we all decide that we want to destroy the deen of Allah, وَالْعَيَاسُ بِاللَّهِ, as we find it from east and west, everyone is trying, and all the enemies of the deen of Allah are trying to destroy the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but no one is able to do anything to this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine and look at the history. When we look at the previous religions, compare the hardships and the attacks that this deen is facing with the attacks that the other previous religions faced, you will realize that those religions did not face any attack at all comparing to what this Islam is facing at this time. And yet, within 500-600 years, those religions were lost. The time difference between Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wassalam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not more than 600 years. We all know it's less than that. And just within that time, the whole religion was changed. And what type of attack did that religion have? It was really nothing, very minor comparing to what Islam is facing day and night. And all the efforts that have been put together to change the Book of Allah, to change the message of Allah, to change the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to take away this deen from the believers, and to change the original message and put it in a different form. Millions of efforts have been done in this way, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been protecting this deen, and up to this day is protected in its original form, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way it was practiced by Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, tabi'in and taba' tabi'in, rahimahumullah. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us, or does not need anyone. He has taken upon Himself that he is going to protect the deen. And he says it very clearly in Quran al-Kareem, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. We are the ones who have revealed this deen, this dhikr, which is Quran, and we are the protectors of this Quran. And Quran simply means the complete deen, because the rest of the ahadith and all of this the explanation that we got from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the explanation of Quran al-Kareem, and Quran cannot be practiced without those ahadith and without the explanation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have really taken it upon himself to preserve and protect this deen. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem, he talks about all the effort that human beings can put and have put for hurting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says about all of these efforts, that these efforts are not more than a person standing by a light, or a person looking at the sunlight and trying to extinguish the light of the sun by his mouth. So a blow from the mouth can never extinguish the light of the sun. And same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all the efforts against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are just like blowing against the sun to try to extinguish the light of the sun. That would never happen. It is not going to affect the sun. Same thing, all of these things are not going to affect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Saff, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They are trying to extinguish the light of the deen of Allah by blowing through their mouth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ, Allah will perfect His nur, His light, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, if although disbelievers dislike it. But Allah says, I will perfect this light, and this light of deen, iman, will be perfected in the world, and will remain in the world, and will be, this deen will remain and will be practiced in the world. And now we can understand that little effort that we put for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really we are having all of this success in working for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has taken it upon Himself to help this deen. When we try to become the protectors of this deen, then we get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has promised for protecting the deen of Allah. So now when we hear that brother so-and-so, imam so-and-so, sheikh so-and-so have done so much work and is doing so much, really that's all because we are getting, and these people are getting, the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise individuals and in fact small groups like us, what can they do for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But as soon as a person steps into the field, he starts receiving the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised always to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, to all the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam, and such a help that we could never imagine that a person can have such a strong help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we are having some success. As soon as we step in this field of helping the deen of Allah, practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all can really go back to ourselves and just think about it, that there was a time when we were just thinking, should I do this? Should I start doing this? How difficult is going to be for me to perform the salah regularly, or to do some service to deen, or to go to the masjid regularly? And as we start, we find that things start becoming so easy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start opening all the doors of rahmah and help for us. How many sisters thought it's so difficult to put the hijab on, it will be hot, and people will laugh at us, people will make fun of us, and as soon as they started, they found out that it's so easy. In fact, now they are so much attached to it that no matter what happens in the world, they are not willing to leave that. So here we find that how we get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as soon as the person gets into the deen of Allah and starts helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we start receiving the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the Lord of the Mashriq and Maghrib, by the east and west, Lord of the east and west, إِنَّا لَقَادِرُونَ, we have all the power to replace them with people better than them. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ, and we will never be defeated. فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُعَدُونَ. Now, if they don't want to listen, so Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave them alone. Leave them alone. And if you would leave them alone, you will give them their freedom that they want. They don't want to be restricted by the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give them the freedom. So you know what they would do? They would do two things. يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا. They will chat and play. This is, subhanallah, now start looking in depth at these two things. Chat and play. They look very simple words. And it looks like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just mentioned two things, that if you leave them alone, this is what they will do. And if they will just run after the dunya, they will turn away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what people would do. That they will be chatting and playing. But in reality now, if you look at it, look how much effort they are putting to invent different things, bring so many different type of things just to achieve these two things. Chatting and playing. How many community centers are built just for the purpose that we don't get time to sit together and talk, let's sit and chat. And spending millions of dollars to be able to bring people together and giving people some time so that they can sit together and they just keep on chatting. People like, and they make all the time for this purpose, they like to stay together, and then they will be talking about just here and there. No purpose. The only purpose is have a little fun. How are we going to have some fun? It's just sit and chat. We'll just be chatting there. And how many times we find ourselves sitting for hours chatting, and at the end there is no result. In fact, we did not even sit with the purpose of having any result out of it. It was only we have some time. Let's waste some time. We don't know where to put the time. We didn't know what to do. So now all of the people will get together. Either the family members will get together or the community group will get together, and they will sit and chat. Of course, it does not mean we are not allowed to sit together. We are not allowed to discuss our matters. We are not just allowed to sit and talk. That's all allowed. But at the same time, if it is just because we don't know what to do, so let's just sit and chat, of course, that's forbidden in the Sharia of Islam. If it is for wasting the time, and because the person doesn't know what to do, so this is what we would do. That's not allowed, of course. And the second thing is, وَيَلْعَبُوا, play. Look how many parks and different type of games. All of these things, subhanAllah, I cannot even name all of these things at this time. We all can just imagine, from children to adults, how many different types of games they have provided us with so that we can just keep on playing. Children have all sorts of games. And if it was only for children, it still says it was something that we could say, okay, it's only entertainment for the children. Now we find that even to entertain us, they will give us so many different games for adults. And all the adults, hardly you will find an adult nowadays who is not involved in these games. We are waiting for those football games. We are waiting for the basketball games. And we are waiting for the tournaments. And especially with that beautiful plan that they came up with, and now they got us into the Olympics. Who could think some years back, go back 1500 years back, and think, ask one of the children, what does your father do? In those days, if a son will say, my father plays, all he does is he plays ball. You know, people will not even accept it from the child. This is all what your father does? He doesn't have no work? Yeah. This is what he does for a living, that he plays with the ball. He keeps on playing with the ball. This is all he does for a living. No one could even imagine that this thing would exist at that time. And today is one of the best profession in the world. And one of the best ways of making the money is a person just sticks to the ball and keeps on playing throughout his life. فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave them alone. They will chat and play. But we don't want to leave them alone. We want to be part of it also. Of course, I don't mean that we are not allowed to watch these games, but we cannot put our heart and soul into these games. And remember, I'm not just saying it offhand and without thinking about it. It's something, if you really you will think also about it, you will find out that these Olympics and Olympic Games, they did not just come because people wanted to play something. It was well planned so that they can involve people. This is a big politics behind it. It's not just some games. There's a major plan behind all of those things. Who would pay so much money for these games? Why would they pay each player those millions of dollars? We have poor people who have been working day and night. They can make even nothing. They make their living. And here these people say, we find people who are playing, just playing day and night, and they make so much money. So there is a lot of planning behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, 1400 years back. As I said, go back only 50 or 100 years back, and you could never imagine a person, a child will say, all my father does is he just plays ball. And now, go back 1400 years back. At that time, people would not even think, it was out of even their thought. It never even crossed someone's mind that we will make teams and we will keep on playing, and through those games we will make money and we will make our living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time revealed these ayahs that this chatting and playing will be something very major. And it's something that these people will keep on getting into it. Khawd means a person just keeps on getting into it. And these people will just keep on getting into these things. And it's getting further and further. And who knows how far it will get and how far it will go. But at least at this time it has gotten to the point that if we start scanning our minds, our brains, and the brains and the hearts of our children, we will find so many of those pictures attached to our hearts and our minds. And if we try to find some other pictures of virtuous people that we read about in the hadith, and we read about in the seerah, in the history, hardly we will find any of those pictures over in those minds. Where did our children get all of these other pictures? It's from all of these, from the games. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that it will keep on getting further and further, and they will keep on getting even in more depth into these games. Yahudu, as you leave them alone, as kuffar will have the time and their freedom to do things, they will go more and more in chatting, and they will get more and more in these games. Hatta yulaqu yawmahum alladhi yu'adun, until they will see the day that they have been promised. So until the day of judgment, they will try to involve people in all of these games. And till the day of judgment, they will try to get us more and more, get into more depth of these games and wasting time by just doing nothing. In fact, study the history of the world of today. You would find that most of our countries are telling us, telling the residents of the country, that when you have a free time, then you don't have to go and sit in the masajid. You don't have to sit and have Islamic gatherings. Just go for outing. Here, we'll build a nice park for you. Go into the park, have a fun with your family. Spend some good time with your friends. But as far as the deen, just leave it for us. We know how to deal with this deen. Leave the deen for us. We will take care of it. But as far as you people, all you people have to do is just go out and have fun. Keep on working. And when you have holidays, and system is made in such a way nowadays that holidays are put in a place, in a time, and planned in such a way that before holidays, everyone is ready to go out for outing somewhere and is ready to go out for having some fun with the family. Because we are so tired with all the studies. Children are tired with the studies. Adults are tired with the work. So holidays simply means now some time for freedom and for having little more, a little fun. And after the holidays are over, get back to your old schedule and keep on working for the rest of the year the way you were working before. Look how the whole life is planned now. And how others are planning our life, and they're planning for us how we are supposed to live. How we are supposed to spend our days and night. They are really, in other words, we see ourselves trapped into the whole system. The whole system is made in that way. That this is what you would do. As far as the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the holidays, we are tired, of course, it's a free time for us. So this is what we have to do. Go some out with the family, have a little fun. And during the working days, those days are too difficult to make any time for anything else. So, then, when is the time to do anything for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا. Look at the ayahs of Al-Quran, miraculous ayahs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks, He really does not just fit in anything that He found some word and He said He will just throw it over there. He knows exactly what He's talking about. And as we go into the depth of these ayahs, we find that really, these ayahs, each person feels that the ayahs are fitting more and more into our situation. People who were before us, they thought, these ayahs are really fitting to our situation. But when we look at our situation, we feel they are even more fitting to our situation than they were to their situation. This is the miracle of Quran. That at all the times, people will feel it that is as fresh as it was the day it was revealed. فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُعَدُونَ. Leave them alone so that they will keep on playing and chatting. حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا, till they will see the day that they have been promised. يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاسِ سِرَاعًا. Which is that day? That is the day when they will be coming out of their graves quickly, rushing. كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبٍ يُوفِضُونَ. As if they are racing to a goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the kuffar, disbelievers, and of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about disbelievers, that simply includes the sinners also, those who are following their steps. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the day when these people, the kuffar, will come out of the graves, you will be seeing them running. They will be running out of their graves. Why would they have to run? Whereas every person knows that if you come out of the grave, especially when the kuffar is coming out of the grave, they are getting to a worse place, wal'ayyazu billah. So why they would be running out of the grave? In their grave, as they will face the punishment, they will feel that there cannot be any punishment worse than this punishment. So as soon as the graves will open, they will think that now this is a room for us to escape from this punishment. So they will run out of those graves. And they will be running so fast, كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبٍ يُوفِضُونَ. As if they are racing with each other to a goal. They see a point, they want to run to that point, and they are racing each other who can get there first. And what will be that goal? They are going to the place of judgment. And they don't know that this will be worse than what they had been facing before. And it says in the hadith, as the people will be standing and waiting for the judgment, now they came out of the grave. And they thought, at the time of coming out of the grave, they thought now they will be in a better form, in a better situation. And here they find themselves standing under the heat of a sun that's only a fist away from their head. The hadith tells us, they would go to Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, asking different Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam to intercede on their behalf. Why? And they will say that, they will ask the prophets, that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stand the judgment, knowing that in the judgment, the decision will be that these kuffar are going to hellfire. They will think the hellfire will be much better than this standing in the sun heat, standing at this point. So imagine, each situation would seem that this situation is more difficult than any other situation. And of course, the worst punishment will be in the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that when a person is in a hard situation, in a difficult situation, should never feel that this is the worst situation. And hardships of this world are nothing comparing to the hardships of Akhirah. Most of the time, when people are turning away from the deen of Allah, and turning away simply means when we decide not to do something good, as believers and as Muslims, as those who know the truth, who know the, what the requirements of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are, it's still some time when we find ourselves doing something different. What's the reason behind it? Because we feel that it's a little difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us this difficulty is nothing comparing to the other difficulties that the sinners and the kuffar will be facing in the Akhirah. So every difficulty in this life is really nothing. And in fact, finally, if a person will use that situation for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will take it upon himself to take that difficulty, he will find out that that difficulty by itself becomes a mean of getting some satisfaction and a peace of mind. كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ نُصُبٍ يُوفِضُونَ خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Now their situation will be such that their gaze are down, their eyes are down, they cannot even raise their heads, they cannot look up. How can they look up? How can they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of them, and that will be the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be just in the front, and people will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kuffar of Quraysh, not the kuffar of Quraysh, in fact the kuffar and the sinners in general will not have the power and will not dare to look up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know they have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْحَقُهُمْ زِلَّةً. This grass will overtake them and they will be totally humiliated. They will look down at themselves and they will realize their reality at this time. This is the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this life, in this world, that what is our reality? If a person will look at the reality, will realize that the only thing that can give us anything and give us any honor is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, this reminds us the beautiful statement of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu when he went to Al-Quds. And at that time, some people, he followed some sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He picked up some piece of rice from the ground and he was having all dress on him with about 17 patches on his dress. When some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in asked him to change the dress, and when he was picking up the piece of rice, they asked him not to do that. At that time, he made the statement saying to them, "Kunna adhalla an-nas." We were the most humiliated people in the world. فَأَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Allah gave us respect only through the deen of Allah. All the respect and the honor we have is only through Islam, through the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا مَبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. If we start looking for honor in anything other than the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will put us down again. And here we have to ask ourselves, how many times we try to find for this honor in nice dresses, in good jobs, in nice homes, in all of these worldly materials and different things, and we feel that if we won't have it, we won't have any respect in the eyes of the people. We won't have any respect in the eyes of the world, and people will look down at us. But in reality, the main thing that will give us the honor is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَرْحَقُهُمْ زِلَّةً. Everyone who would try to get any honor in anything other than the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will be humiliated in the Akhirah. See, that person will be put down in the Akhirah. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُعَدُونَ. This was the day that they were promised. And this is the end of Surah Al-Ma'arij. If we go through the whole surah, you will find the message of the surah was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding the human beings of Akhirah. That was the whole message and the gist of the surah, that keep on remembering the Akhirah. سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ. Started with a question, in fact with the kuffar of Quraysh, asking for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to that, he told them, that if you're really looking for the punishment of the Akhirah is the real punishment. If you have little peace of mind in this world, if you have some wealth in this life, if you are having some good time in this world, and Allah says, not only you would have it, I'm giving you the chance, يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا, I'm giving you the chance that you can sit and chat, you can have all the fun, you can have all the games, you can keep on playing. I'm giving you all of these opportunities in this life, in this world, so that you keep on wasting the time. You won't come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gist of this surah is to remind the believers and remind the whole world, remind all the human beings that the main thing in this world is to remember the Akhirah. Although it's a fact that especially living in this age and time, we like to say that don't remind us of it all the time. Don't talk of these punishments at all the time. We don't want to just keep on thinking about that at all the time. Let's have some good time also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will have good time only if you remember the Akhirah. Only if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only if you remember what it is that we will have to go through in a very short time. When is the time? No one knows. Can be at any time that you will depart from this life and depart from this world. And just think about it. What is it that we are taking back with us from this life? With all the hard work that we are doing and struggling day and night. And subhanAllah, people, how much we love our relatives, love our people, love people around us. Who is going to come with us in our graves? With all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that then, if nothing of this worldly gain is going to help you, then keep on working in this life for the Akhirah. Keep on working for the next life, because that's the real life. That's the life that we will be living forever, eternal life. So, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsa, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsa, wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. The wise is a person who will control his desires in this world, in this life, وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and keep on working for Akhirah. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِي. Loser is the one who keeps on following the desires. In this world, would like to fulfill all the desires. And then, وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِي, and keeps on having big hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is غفور الرحيم, Allah is merciful, Allah is very forgiving, and He doesn't like to punish people. He's not going to punish us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that not working for it and just keep on hoping for it is the way of the losers. So therefore, if we don't want to be the losers, then we need to work hard for it. And then inshallah, keep on praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have His rahmah and His forgiveness and mercy. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.